had a woman yesterday. We had Deborah. And before that, we had Joshua. And the theme, as you know, is triumphant faith. Joshua overcame when he yielded up his sword. Deborah, who although she was weak, or a weaker vessel, yet she triumphed. And she inspired others. She inspired men to be courageous for the Lord. Caleb is the subject for tonight. I've entitled that The Man Who Never Grew Old. You could give him many titles. Caleb, therefore, is the subject of our study tonight. And we are going to read about Caleb. First of all, in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers and chapter 13. When Moses sent the 12 spies to spy out the land. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong to dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the man that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation, chapter 14, verse 1, lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Oh, would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, Let us make us a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunne, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And then the next section, Moses asks pardon for the people of Israel. And then in verse 20 we hear, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord because of all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. That's as far as we read in this book. Then also a few verses in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua, in chapter 14. Now the land is being divided. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunne, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children for ever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And behold, now the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years. If you don't know what that is, that's 85 years. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunne Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunne the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, of which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. That's all we shall read. I want to quote one little verse that is so well known and such an encouragement to all of us of all ages, young people, middle-aged, and old. And you know it, that's Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the next applies to the youth. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. The next applies to those of middle age. They shall run and not be weary. And the last one, to the older ones. They shall walk and not faint. This somehow illustrates the three periods that we can see in the life of Caleb. Just as we see three periods in the life of Moses, three 40s. 40 years. We see it also. And I'm jumping ahead to give you a little outline already what I have in mind. That is, we want to see, first of all, the youth of Caleb. He is ardent in his youth, zealous, all out. Then next stage, he is steadfast in his middle age. And the last period, he is adventurous in his old age. He never stopped growing, Caleb didn't. In the passing years, instead of witnessing a gradual eclipse, only served to increase his stature and also his prestige. We see him growing and growing. And dear brothers and sisters, although the subjects of these six evenings are divided in three men and three women, it doesn't mean to say that tonight the sisters are going to switch off. And tomorrow the brothers are going to switch off, because tomorrow, if the Lord will, the subject will be Abigail. No, not at all. All of us, regardless of sex, regardless of age even, we can learn from what we see in these men and women, from their youth to their old age. And that's wonderful, because it covers a complete lifetime. It covers your and my life. And there is something tonight, I am sure, for every one of us in this room, from the youngest to the oldest. Well, here this man. And when I speak, of course, of never growing old, I don't mean that in the physical sense, at least not for us tonight. Growing spiritually. Continually growing, or being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see, he's referred to in many places. We read several references already in the book of Numbers and Joshua and elsewhere. His name is rather peculiar, fancy. Parents calling their name, their son, Caleb, because that means dog. Some of us, we still remember in the old days when we had gramophones that you had to turn up. You remember with the handle, and you had these gramophone records, and the best known one was that gramophone, you remember, with a little dog in front of it. And what was that called? His master's voice. And I believe that many commentators have taken Caleb, if his name was dog, to represent faithfulness, the faithfulness of a dog, and the alertness of a dog to his master's voice. I think that's wonderful. May the Lord give me that attitude of faithfulness, fidelity, obedience, alertness to my master's voice. So there is something beautiful in that name, nevertheless. His biography illustrates, and I think that's also wonderful, his biography illustrates that it's possible for life's greatest achievements to take place in old age. Just think of that. If we think ourselves old, God can still achieve great things through you and me if we're available. He can still use you. There is no period in our lives where we ought to be useless or think that we're useless. We can't do anything anymore. This man of 85, those were the best moments of his life. The greatest achievement of his life was at the end of his life. I think that's wonderfully encouraging. And also it illustrates a second point, that there is no retiring age. In the physical life, yes, in civil life, there is retirement age, but not in the spiritual conflict. Not even for the oldest one. And there's here one that's 89 years of age. For him, the conflict is not yet finished. And for none of us here tonight, the conflict is finished, but the Lord is with us. But how are we engaged in this conflict? And that's what we hope to discover. Or rather, the Word of God will discover that to us, I would imagine. Well, six times we read about Caleb that he followed the Lord wholly. I think that's the secret. That's the secret of the life of Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. And that challenges me. I have asked the Lord to search my heart honestly. And I do confess that there are some mountains. There's still some giants there that baffle me. Do you know of some mountains in your life? Some pet habits that you detest? Some enemy, something that thwarts, something that spoils your fellowship with the Lord? we can scale that mountain. Like we can say, give me this mountain, Lord. Help me, Lord, to overcome these enemies, these giants. Well, it's the Lord himself who says it three times of Caleb, that he wholly followed him. Moses said it several times, and Caleb gives his own testimony. I wholly followed the Lord. That's what we just read. So, why could Caleb say that? Because, as we read, there was another spirit in Caleb. That spirit was not in the rest, in the majority. It was in him. And I think that same challenge comes from Paul to Timothy. You know that all those in Asia have forsaken me. But you, Timothy, you go on by the grace of God. Let the others, don't look at the others. You fix your gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on. That's the message. So we see that the life of Caleb displays undaunted faith in the Lord. Through thick and through thin, he trusted the Lord. In all odds, in all frustrations and disappointments, and an unswerving loyalty to the Lord Jesus, he didn't deviate neither to the left nor to the right. What did he have in front of him? What was his goal? The promised land. What did he want? He wanted to take possession of what the Lord had prepared for him. And that's the challenge that comes to us too. To possess our possessions in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not just to read about them, but to enjoy them. To enjoy them. And thirdly, unbounded zeal for the Lord. Right up to old age, he was zealous. Even adventurous. Give me this mountain. So then let's consider those three periods in the life of Caleb. First of all, we start then with the fact that he is ardent in his youth. We read that first scripture in Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. He was then about 40 years old. We don't read much about his early life, that is true. But we read about what is subsequent. And that gives us enough to know about his character and his conduct, what kind of a man he was. Similarly, we don't read much about the early years of the Lord Jesus, the early 30 years of the Lord Jesus, except one incident when he was 12 years of age. But subsequently, those 3.5 crammed years of the life of the Lord Jesus, there you see what kind of a man he was. What character, what conduct. And so, it wasn't Kadesh Barnea that made Caleb. But it brought out what he was, his character. And it's often like that a crisis brings out what we really are. Well, he was never ever found amongst those who murmured. He was never found amongst the skeptical. He was never found among those who hankered after the onions and the leeks and going back to Egypt. No turning back. You know that verse? The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. That's Caleb. That's Caleb. The others were speaking of going back to Egypt. He says, let's go up at once, for we are well able to overcome them. That's the spirit of Caleb. Well, we could see that he was a man of extraordinary courage. And also of extraordinary and robust faith. We'll see that. First of all, his courage. His moral courage and his spiritual courage. Think of it. This man stood alone against the tide and against popular opinion. The spies had brought back an evil report. And they described this land that, don't even think of it. Impossible. And there stood Caleb. We're well able. That takes some courage. The other day I spoke to a young sister. And she found it so dreadfully difficult to cover her head when in the presence of the Lord in the assembly. We talked about the several glories. The glory of God must always be discovered, or uncovered, if you like. And the glory of man must be covered, and also the glory of the woman must be covered. Oh, she said, but, you know, they laugh at me, and they think I'm queer. You know, it takes something, it takes courage to stand out. in faithfulness to the word and the instructions of the word of God. In other fields also, in other areas. It's so easy to compromise because, well, everybody's doing it. But to stand out and to stand strong against the current. Now you've got here in Scotland these rapids with the salmons. That fish can jump the rapids up. Any dead fish can float with the current down. But it takes energy, spiritual energy, to jump the rapids like a salmon. That's the life of the spirit in us. And that's a Caleb. He withstood the popular opinion. And he didn't follow the crowd. He was willing to pay the price for his convictions. Now, with willing to pay the price for his convictions, I don't mean by that being dog-headed and being imposing your mind on somebody else, not being willing to accept somebody else's opinion, because that's no virtue. And unfortunately, that often happens, and that can split assemblies, because somebody's insisting, I am right, and the other one is wrong. But we must have convictions, brothers and sisters. Must have convictions. And there's also the physical courage. We read about what were they going to do. They were ready to stone them. He maintained this attitude of faith in spite of the fact that he was risking his life. They were going to stone him. He wasn't going to be intimidated, even by their violent threats of stoning him. He was willing to hazard his life to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus. That's Caleb. About his faith. And I quote, I must confess that in preparation of these subjects, I have drunk very deeply from what others have provided in the vessels, just like those servants of Boaz. When Boaz says to Ruth, when you're thirsty, just go. It's all prepared there. The servants have already prepared it. There have been many servants that have written books on these wonderful subjects, and I've drunk deeply. Sometimes I quote from them too, and I'm not ashamed at all that I quote from some of them. Well, his unwavering faith, says one of these commentators, flourished luxuriantly among the miasmas of unbelief arising from the pessimistic report. He was brave amongst cowards, and he was an assured man amongst skeptics. Yes, there was a magnificent blending of this faith and courage. He stood out, but very little rubbed off on others, it seems. The others weren't apparently influenced by the stand of Caleb and Joshua. The majority went against it. So please, brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged. If you stand faithful for the Lord, that doesn't mean to say that automatically other people are going to be following in the same way. But we must, if all those in Asia will forsake the Apostle Paul, didn't forsake the Lord, but forsook him because probably the way that the Apostle Paul went was a bit dangerous. If all forsook, Timothy had to keep on being faithful. You see, it isn't that Joshua and Caleb underestimated the power of the enemy in the promised land, nor minimized the dangers. But the difference was that these ten other spies, they compared their own grasshopper strength with the strength of the giants. Whereas these two, they compared God's omnipotence with the giants. That's the difference, you see. Faith has a completely different perspective. We see the men and women of faith, they look at things from a completely different point of view from the worldling or those who have their own opinions. And that's what characterized this man. He recalls the promises of God. Caleb did. We are well able to overcome them. And Hebrews 11 verse 1, you know that famous verse. Faith is the substance. You see it. You actually feel it practically. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things unseen. The man of faith and the woman of faith, when he prays, he gives thanks at the same time that God can make this thing real. And for him it is real. That's faith. Believes the word of God and claims the blessing. So then, the next point I want to consider, after his extraordinary courage and faith, is the that there was no turning back for Caleb. The ten said, let us go back to Egypt. Let's appoint a captain and go back to Egypt. And what is the answer to that? What did Caleb retort? Let's go up at once. We are well able. Well, Caleb, he was honest. And he was also kind, and he was also devoted. And I explain what I mean by that. Caleb was honest. He said, and I quote from the scriptures, I brought Moses' word again as it was in my heart. You see, that's the difference. He looked with his heart. The others looked with their human eyes. We've got to look with our hearts. So he says, as it was in my heart. And his heart was right with God. That's why he brought a faithful report. Then he was also kind. He said, nevertheless, and he calls them my brethren. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. These were the people that discouraged the people and dishonored the Lord, and he calls them brethren. Didn't judge them. But he told the truth about them, that's true, but in a kind way. Love suffers long. Love suffers long and is kind. And love covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean to say that we have to excuse sin in a believer, but we don't hang out the dirty washing in public about the behavior of a brother or a sister. We don't talk about those things to others. We talk to the Lord. And he was also devoted. I wholly follow the Lord my God, because he had another spirit. So far, some comments on the ardent youth that characterized Caleb. Now we come to middle age. The steadfastness of his middle age. Well, he was tested, and so are we. He came through this test. How are we standing up to it? The tests. Middle age has its own peculiar testings, physical as well as spiritual. Middle age may not be so volcanic as youth, but what they lose in intensity, they certainly gain in this quiet confidence. Don't you agree? There's a quiet confidence. We have seen how the Lord has been with us all our lives. Well, it's at this stage of middle age that there often comes a loss of fervor, if we're honest, and a waning of personal devotion, a kind of lukewarm sense of duty replaces the ardent heart love I have against you, that you left your first love. How easy that is. How easy that is to lose that fervency. And we're going through the motions. And our spiritual life becomes anemic and insipid. And we are easing up. We are letting things go. And I want to quote a poem from Amy Carmichael, and how that godly woman who was a missionary in India spoke to my heart in my own youth. I shall never forget. This is what she said. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices weakening. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, flame of God. If that doesn't challenge you, nothing will. This challenge comes to each one of us, every stage, youth here tonight. middle-aged ones, and those in old age. We're all challenged by that. Is the fire still burning in our hearts? Is our love still burning for the Lord? Or does he have to say to some of us, I have this against you? You've left your first love. Not lost it. You've left it. When you lose something, you didn't do that on purpose. But when you leave something, you've substituted it for something else. No easing up, brothers. No easing up, sisters. We're in the conflict. And how are we facing up to these tests? With the fixing of life tendencies and habits, sometimes disillusionments, criticisms. And I must confess, I have often had to pray the Lord keep me from cynicism. When you see so much going on amongst Christians, amongst believers, then you say, I have seen everything that could happen between believers. You almost start doubting even your own brother and your own sister. No, may the Lord keep us from becoming cynical. I mean, Caleb had what to become disappointed about, to become frustrated about, but he didn't. He didn't become frustrated. He accepted from the Lord's hand, and he went on faithfully. Ah, yes. For him, there was no turning back. No deterioration set into him in his life. You know that very searching verse in Hosea that speaks about Ephraim. It's a cake not turned, it said. But this is what it says in Hosea 7, verse 9. Grey hairs are here and there upon him, and he knoweth it not. Oh, how subtle it is. How subtle are these weakenings, these easy choices, weakenings, to ease up a bit, to let go. Well, he passed the test. Are we standing up to it? Caleb passed the test of his youth with flying colors, you might say. But how will he now face, how will he face the long drawn out years of middle age? They seem to be long drawn out. Few have faced so many odds and so many embittering things at this stage of life as Caleb did. Let me just describe it again for you. All around him was this sin and unbelief of his brethren. They brought over an evil report, his contemporaries. And they doomed his, in effect, their evil report doomed him to a life of disappointment. A life of frustration for 40 years of wandering aimlessly in the desert when he was at the peak of his youth. Those years should have been the best of his life. Who was frustrated? And he wasn't. And the apparent reward for Caleb, for his faith and for his courage, was aimless going round. 40 years and more. When his powers were at their peak. And his ambition was at zenith point. All that had to pass. In the furnace, all that had to be purged. How would he come through? How do you and I come through, brothers and sisters? How do we stand up to this? He could have been different under this difficult circumstances. He could have been different. By all worldly standards, he would have been excused. He would have been justified if he had become petulant or resentful. Think of some situations, and which you and I may have found ourselves in the past. They were difficult to put up. We were frustrated. We were disappointed. We didn't get where we wanted to get. How quickly we can become petulant. How quickly we become resentful. But he survived his long-sustained test. Yes, without losing any stature. He was growing all the time. Don't you think that's the process the Holy Spirit puts us through, dear brothers and sisters? It's so easy to say that we are conformed to the image of his Son, but how does that happen? That doesn't happen automatically. We can obstruct it. But God takes great pains. If the unbelievers are hardly saved, it says, how we are saved with difficulty. In Peter's epistle, it says that. The Lord takes great pains to put us through this process, this purifying process of making us more like himself. Caleb was growing. He was one of those rare souls, you might say, that didn't get offended with the way that God was dealing with him. Do you sometimes get offended?